8:30 a.m. KSDP. This is Meet the People for January 21st, 2009. I'm Kels Hetherington. My guest this morning is Miss Della Trumbull. Della is both president of the King Cove Corporation and a longtime resident of the city of King Cove. She has been actively involved in the mission to have allowed the proposed King Cove-Cold Bay Road, which the U.S. Senate recently opened the door for when it passed a massive lands bill earlier this month. With that, good morning, Della, and thanks for joining us on 8:30 a.m. KSDP.
Good morning to you, too. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, where does the effort stand right now to have the road allowed through the Eisenbeck Wildlife Refuge?
At this point, since it has passed the Senate 73-21, we now wait for it to pass the House, which we hope will happen next week. And after that, it goes to the president for signature.
Now, so you and most believe this massive lands bill will pass the House because it has lots of stuff in it. Clearly, it's a massive bill. And a lot of the Democrats want to see it go by. Were you surprised to see the lands bill pass the Senate and have the King Cove Coal Bay Road through the Eisenbeck Wildlife Refuge included in it?
I think the lands bill included about 130 bills from different states in the United States that were both supported by Democrats and Republicans. There was, the environmentalists were concerned that this was in there, but however, it was a bipartisan agreement to support each other on this bill.
Now, as part of the agreement that you have offered in the past, a land swap was proposed in which the King Cove Corporation would give so many acres in exchange for the 200-plus odd acres needed to build the road between King Cove and Cold Bay. And Cold Bay, incidentally, has the third longest runway in the state of Alaska. That's why you're trying to get there. Is that detail still a part of the transaction that you expect to take place?
I'm thinking I understand your question correctly. 12 years ago, the initial agreement was an exchange for 1,250 acres on what we refer to as the bookends of Kenizzaref Lagoon for the 207-acre easement through the wilderness. This time, it is a total of 2,500 acres in the Kenizzaref Lagoon. We agreed to not select 4,350 acres within the wilderness boundaries, and 10,800 acres in the Mortensen area, and also the 41,000 acres that the state of Alaska has in two townships in exchange for the 206-acre easement.
And that's a part of the lands bill that went by the Senate, right?
That is correct.
Now, assuming the House of Representatives approves the massive lands bill and then the president signs the bill into law, where will the road project stand at that point?
What this bill allows is for the Secretary of Interior to start the EIS process to make a public determination for the road to go through the wilderness boundaries. And that is supposed to happen within 18 months after the bill is signed. And this will allow us. That's the first step. If we get past that step, then it's in the best interest in the public determination. Then we will work with the state of Alaska. What this easement will do is go to the state of Alaska to construct the road.
So once the bill is signed into law, assuming that that happens after the House of Representatives passes it, which most expect will take place, would the land then be transferred to the state of Alaska and some of the lands that have been offered in the exchange be transferred to the federal government?
No. The first step will be that the bill will be technically goes through the hands of Secretary of Interior to do the public determination process, which is the EIS. After that process isn't complete, then the process starts with working with the state of Alaska on constructing the road.
So what is involved when it goes into the Department of the Interior, which is going to be led by a guy named Salazar? He's going to be the Secretary of the Department of Interior. Where does it how does it proceed once it gets into the hands of the Department of the Interior?
Well, it's a partnership with the Aleutian East Borough, the City of King Cove, the Ogallala Tribe of King Cove, and the Migratory Bird Co-Management Council to work on this process, the EIS process.
And as part of that process, my understanding from talking with some people involved in this is that there's going to be the need for further environmental study to take place. Is that your understanding as well?
Yes, that is correct.
And the results of those environmental studies, will they dictate whether or not this project moves forward, or will they tell you how it needs to move forward?
I think it will do both. It will, if it's in the interest of the public, then it moves forward. And it also will determine where and where this road would be constructed.
All right. For those of you just joining us on Meet the People, I'm Kels Hetherington, and my guest this morning is President of the King Cove Corporation, Della Trumbull. We'll be back right after this message from the Shumigan Corporation. We have a lot more questions for Della Trumbull, so stay with us right here at 8:30 a.m. KSDP in Sandpoint, Alaska.
Programming on KSDP is supported by the Shumigan Corporation. Located in Sandpoint, the Shumigan family of businesses includes property and equity management, the Sandpoint Tavern, and the Anchor Inn Motel. The Shumigan Corporation, serving its shareholders and the people of Sandpoint, on the web at www.shumigan.com or by telephone at 907-383-3525. The Shumigan Corporation, hometown values and service, a proud sponsor of KSDP.
Back now on Meet the People, I'm Kels Thunridge, and I'm talking with Della Trumbull. This portion of our program is underwritten by Wells Fargo National Bank, member FDIC. We appreciate their support. Della is president of the King Cove Corporation, and she has been an active participant in an effort to get a proposed road approved between King Cove and Cold Bay. The road would connect King Cove's residents with the state's third longest runway in the state of Alaska, which is located in Cold Bay. Della, why is constructing this road so important?
The importance is safe access between the two communities of King Cove and Cold Bay. And just for daily transportation or in case of emergencies. We all know our weather in King Cove can be extremely horrendous, and so there's times when we can't get to Cold Bay either by air or by boat or by hovercraft.
Last Friday I had David Raskin, who's been a real kind of nemesis for this project, on the air with me on Meet the People. And he was critical and sort of argumentative, as one might have expected. And he said the proposed project will do irreparable harm to the Eisenbeck Wildlife Refuge. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but that was the gist of what he wanted to communicate to our listeners. How do you respond to that allegation?
There are two issues. I think the first and foremost, that they don't necessarily understand the environment and what we put up with living out where we do. And that number two, well, there's a number of reasons. Number two, the birds are only in that area 2 to 2.5 months a year. But the other piece that has been an issue for them is the idea of setting precedent by allowing construction of a road through a wilderness. And they feel that this would set precedent for the rest of the United States, which is incorrect because anything has to be approved by Congress, and Congress has that right and authority to make that determination.
And, of course, you'd be actually expanding the refuge because you're offering land. So it's not entirely correct that this would be precedent-setting. This is a unique situation. Just curious, when was the Eisenbeck Wildlife Refuge established, and were the people of King Cove considered when that decision was being made to set this land aside?
At the time that determination was being made, or the public process was happening, people in King Cove were not notified that they were having public hearings in Anchorage and in Cove Bay itself. I think it's unfortunate that that happened. There was one gentleman that was living in King Cove Bay at the time, that from King Cove, and he did bring to their attention that some point in time people from King Cove are going to need access, but it didn't go any further than that, and we were never part of that process, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, just going back to Raskin's comments a couple more times, he claims the road will not achieve its intended purpose because, as he said on Friday, the road will run across an isthmus that may be completely submerged during sometimes when we have particularly high tides in the area that the road will cover. Is there any truth to that statement that he makes?
No, that is incorrect, and that kind of falls with what I said earlier, that they have no knowledge of our area. Otherwise, I don't think those statements would be made. The isthmus is 3 miles across from Eisenbeck Lagoon to Kenizareth Lagoon, and the road would be constructed away from the both lagoons to have the least amount of impact on any wildlife.
So that is actually very interesting. The isthmus is 3 miles wide, and he's saying the tides could cover this entire body of land. Clearly the man hasn't actually been to the area he's talking about. Or it's been a long, long time. His memory may not be serving him entirely correctly. In 1998, the same request was made for permission to construct the road linking King Cove and Cold Bay. A compromise was agreed to that year, which provided for a hovercraft and enhancements to the medical clinic in King Cove. The total cost of those projects was an estimated $37.5 million. Now, not all that money became the kind of the property of the people of King Cove. Much of it was invested into the hovercraft, and that does not actually belong to the Aleutians East Borough. It belongs to the federal government, from what I understand. Now, you seem to be rejecting that compromise and continuing to ask for the road. Why hasn't this solution been satisfactory to answering the need the people of King Cove have to get to the airport in Cold Bay?
I think 12 years ago, given our situation and the sympathy toward it, this was a compromise offered by the White House. And at the time, we realized we either take it or leave it, and if we took it, at least we'd have something. And we were to look at the various options of being and land connection to Cold Bay from King Cove. And through that determination, our EIS, is where the hovercraft came from. The hovercraft does belong to the Aleutians East Borough unless they give it up, and then it goes back to the federal government.
Well, thanks for correcting me on that. I guess I'm wrong. Tell me, what is the problem with the hovercraft? I know I'm aware that there are issues that have plagued this solution, but just so everyone who's listening understands it, why has this solution not actually been a solution?
Well, first and all, it reinforces that we live in an area that the weather is and can be extreme, and that's been proven with the hovercraft. It can't operate in certain weather or certain temperatures. And the other piece of it is the cost. The cost is high when you're looking at the amount of people that we have within the two communities. It cannot support this type of public transportation. And if you look statewide at ferry systems and the problems that they have with trying financially sustaining their operations, it's really hard to do even in larger communities. We've always maintained that the road would be the least to maintain and the less costly to operate.
You know, your point is an excellent one, Della, because the state of Alaska has reduced ferry service in some parts of the state, including along the Aleutian chain and the areas that are served in the Shumigan Islands, saying that the cost is simply too high and they can't cover it. So if the state of Alaska can't cover ferry service, it's hard to believe that the Aleutians East Borough would be in a position to do that. I know it's capably run. However, if the state of Alaska can't do it, how is a smaller government entity supposed to do it? For those of you who are just joining the program, this is Meet the People. I'm Kels Hetherington, and my guest this morning is Della Trumbull, president of the King Cove Corporation, Dell has been an active member in an effort to have authorized the proposed road linking King Cove and Coal Bay. King Cove residents need the road to access Coal Bay for medical emergencies. Coal Bay has the third longest runway in the state of Alaska, and King Cove's airport is surrounded by treacherous mountain terrain, making landing there extremely difficult. And in fact, there have been multiple accidents at that airport throughout the years. We'll be back with more with Della Trumbull right here on Meet the People right after this.
Are you looking for a new TV, movie, or a video game system? Are you in Sandpoint, Alaska? Do you like to save money? Then Wastak Electronics, out on the spit in the Peter Pan Complex, is for you. Wastak offers big city discounts in Bush, Alaska. Wastak Electronics in Sandpoint, Alaska.
Okay, back on Meet the People. I'm Kels Lerington, talking with Della Trumbull. She is the president of the King Cove Corporation and a longtime resident of King Cove. And she's been actively involved in the effort to have permission granted for a road to be constructed through the Eisenbeck Wildlife Refuge. And she recently testified before Congress. Della, when you were in Washington on Capitol Hill, what was it like testifying before Congress? Few Americans ever get this opportunity.
Well, we had we sat through the hearing 12 years ago, and what should have lasted an hour and a half lasted 5.5 hours on the floor. So those of us that attended it really got to see what happens sometimes as our government moves a bill along. This time we were able to sit and watch it, and I think it brought a lot back for many of us who've been involved with this process for a long time, and it was gratifying to watch the bill as a whole get passed. So.
And what is what's the game plan now? How are you going to, you say you need further environmental studies, and this can move forward. Have you been in touch with the Department of Interior about what will need to happen after this bill is signed into law?
I think Governor Senator Murkowski was going to meet with them, had a meeting with him and wanted to discuss it. And so we just need to wait until it passes the House, and then we will make a determination of what our next steps will be.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning on Meet the People, Della. It sounds like you have achieved a great deal. And, you know, we sometimes say it will take an act of Congress to get that done, and it has. It's taken an act of Congress, and you have been an instrumental part of getting that act of Congress, passed. So congratulations on that. At least one of your hurdles seems to be almost behind you. Then the environmental portion of this project will come to fruition, and you'll have to address that. But I'm sure you will do that. And we'd like to have you back on Meet the People to discuss it and hear more about what's going on. So it would be great if you'd come back at some time.
Okay, and thank you. And I think it's been a long process for the city of King Cove, King Cove Corporation, the King Cove Tribe, the Lucians East Borough, and, you know, the congressional delegations and our governor. So it's been, and many other people within the region that have helped support it. So it's been, I think, a major team effort, and it's gone well for us, and we appreciate all that.
One more thing, Della. We have on our website a little note about today's interview, and right there in the note is a link to the website that I think it's enhancing the Eisenbeck Wildlife Refuge, and it's part of the King Cove Corporation's website. And we have a direct link from our website to your website that involves the road construction proposed. So if listeners want to go to our website, which is www.apradio.org, you can do that and you'll find the link. So more information is available. Well, thanks, Della, and good luck, and keep in touch.
Okay, and thank you. Have a good morning.
That was Della Trumbull, a wonderful lady. She's done so much for the Aleutians East Borough in cooperation with Mayor Stanley Mack and his capable team. They have almost gotten an act of Congress signed into law. It's expected to happen when the lands bill gets the president's desk, and that should happen in the near future. Then the issue will become getting the Department of Interior satisfied that the environmental portion of this proposed project has been met successfully. And that team that has been working on the project is addressing that with Senator Lisa Murkowski, as you heard. This interview will be available on www.apradio.com www.apradio.org, which is the station's website. And you can go there and you can find all sorts of different interviews that I've conducted in recent weeks and months on Meet the People. We'll now go back to the music right here on 8:30 a.m. KSDP Sandpoint, Alaska.
You're listening to KSDP Sandpoint and K201DA King Cove, Alaska.